You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is December 9th, 2025, when you're seeing this. We're recording this on Monday, December 8th at about 2 p.m. in the afternoon on the left coast. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. Did you see the lady, you know, that the Cinnabon lady we talked about on the bonus episode?
The Patreon episode, yeah.
So a small update. If you guys aren't familiar with the story, this lady said a bunch of racist shit at a Cinnabon, and then she got fired because if you want to be racist, you can't do that at Cinnabon. You better carry your ass to Crumble Cookie, right? So someone started a GoFundMe, and people. I'm trying to word this carefully because I have no idea if the money's actually going to make it to her because people start fake GoFundMes in the middle of this shit all the time. But a bunch of people donated over $50,000 last time I saw. To this lady who got fired for saying the N. She got $50,000 for one N-word, Trey. That's more than Quentin Tarantino's rate.
Right. Yes. But I'll say this. I may have this wrong, but if I recall correctly, this was a white lady in Minnesota talking to Somali people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where she messed up was calling two Somali adults the N-word. Because if I recall correctly, the lady who called a Somali five-year-old the N-word at a playground got like $400,000 from a GoFundMe or whatever last year or the year before, if y'all remember that happened. So there's precedent here. So, you know, really, she could have pumped those numbers up if she just aimed a little lower. And I mean that in every possible way. But yeah, what's Crumble have to do with it?
Just a rival.
Okay. All right. Crumble just sent, they just paid a lot of money to keep BYU's coach. So Crumble's apparently, it's like a Mormon company.
Yeah. That's my understanding.
Right. So I didn't know if they somehow had, I wouldn't have been surprised if a big Mormon cookie company had, you know, also done some racist shit or whatever. So I didn't know if I'd missed that. That's why I was asking, but.
Look, if you get to the bottom of any sort of company in America, it's going to be the Christmas Adventure Club, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a racist organization from one battle after another, if you guys haven't seen it. Me and Trey have talked about it before, so I knew he knew the reference. I just picked Crumble because I couldn't think of, in my head, I was like, what's the closest thing to a rival company? There's no other Cinnabon.
No, right. And there shouldn't be, by the way.
No.
There used to be, you know, I get like Orange Julius back in the day, and then like TCBY when that was a thing. But another net, you get into the ice cream stores, and that's about it. But yeah, if you wanted a deep cut, good pull, you could have gone with Tiff's Treats. You familiar with Tiff's Treats?
No,
okay, well, it's definitely a thing. Last time I saw it was in your old stomping grounds, Dallas, Texas. By the way, I don't know how big of a thing they are, but yeah.
Oh. See, I feel like there's a real opportunity for people have already grifted these things by you know, stealing the money from real events or whatever. And there's also there was a black woman a couple of years ago who pretended to be MAGA to GoFundMe a bunch of money. I got ostracized for being a black Trump supporter. And she made like $100,000. And she said, ha ha, fucking suckers. That was funny. But I feel like if someone has a store they could let me pretend to work at, and someone could film me pretending to be racist, and then we all split the money, and then we go do a podcast episode together, we talk about what these rubes are, like, maybe this could put a stop to this dumb bullshit, because this whole thing where, like, they're trying to ruin this lady's life, I guess, but they made her $50,000, but her life's probably still ruined after the $50,000 runs out.
I don't have the balls to do this. I mean, I never actually would, but I've, like, had the thought before that, like, if I did, and now I can't do it now that I've about to let the cat out of the bag, but something happens that I would pretend prompts like a heel turn in me, you know, like as an online liberal commentator, like I switch teams or whatever and just start pandering hard to them in an effort to prove how easy it is to do. And then, like, after a few months of that, you know, again, you know, pulling the curtain back and being like, yeah, that was all just to prove how fucking stupid you all are. How awesome that would be if it was actually done successfully, but I couldn't live with myself during the interim. But also the idea of attempting that and it not working would really suck, dude. But I feel like if you pulled that off, though, I think that it would, you know, that'd be pretty sweet. But somebody else is gonna have to try it. I ain't got the stones.
Yeah, I don't have the balls for it either. So before we get to the show, I wanted to mention this real quick. So let me read here from this piece in Futurism. The headlines: Elon Musk's Grok AI is doxing home addresses of everyday people. So what happened basically, that somebody doxed Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool Sports. He just asked him what his home address was, and Grok told them, right? So then people were like, wait, does Grok have everyone's address? They started putting it, what is, like, Joe Smith's address, and it would come back with people's fucking home addresses and like accurate, like, places people work. You know, sometimes it would, like, give you a work address and it meant the home address because it's AI and it's still stupid. But, like, so it basically, remember, did you see that vulgar roast thing where Elon was pitching on Joe Rogan?
Yes, of course I did. Yeah,
it was. If you guys ever talking about it, Elon was pitching the fact that you could go to a party and hold your phone up and have Grok roast your friends, which is like, I don't need the robot to roast, but that's how I want to interact with my friends.
Imagine being at a party and someone actually doing that, and it's like, at any party that I've ever been to in my life, it would have the immediate, completely opposite effect of what.
Get the fuck out. Exactly. Get the fuck out of this party.
Least it would get you, it would get you roasted mercilessly by everyone else in attendance. Like, dude, that you would never live that shit down if you actually tried to do that. And then Elon's on Rogan acting like, you know, like, how cool is this? You could be the coolest guy there, you know? And it's like, dude, you don't know anything about cool guys, bro.
Don't you want to go to a party and watch your phone play cards against humanity?
Right. That's
basically what it is. And so, probably Joe pretending that was funny. It's not funny.
I told you in our group chat or whatever, I was like, somehow, weirdly, this for me is the last straw with Rogan. I was like, all the shit that Rogan's done, I was like, him laughing at this and pretending that this is cool because Elon Musk is saying it is like, this is just the straw that broke the camel's back for me. This is fucking ridiculous. But.
Anyway. So that basically, if you go to the park, you'd be like, hey, Grok, come up with a vulgar roast of Joe Rogan. You'd be like, Joe Rogan, a fucking dickhead who lives at 456 Main Street. Like, yeah. Basically what Grok's doing. So, but it also, like, it also would just give random addresses. Like, they'd be like, hey, give me Trey Crowder's address. It would give your address, but also the address of a bunch of other Trey Crowders. And just, you want to see the addresses of all the Trey Crowders.
Right. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, because all these, like, LLMs or whatever they're called, they just pull from the existing shit that's on the internet, right? But you can just pretty much, you could just, like, Google your name and the word address or anybody you know, and you'll probably find it. I know, because every now and then I'll get a random package in the mail or something from like a fan, usually, thankfully, but that's literally all you have to do. So it doesn't surprise me that Grok can just do that. I mean, because it's just out there.
When I work for the newspaper, we subscribe to a LexisNexis program. They're like, you basically, because when you update your address for a power company or whatever, it goes into all these databases. Right. It is available. You have to pay. Like, cops use the same one to track people down. Like, right. So, like, so if you wanted to, like, call somebody, like, somebody got hit by a car, you want to call their relatives to see how they're doing, you find their home phone number and address on LexisNexis. But, like, but where they're getting this idea data is pretty interesting, because if you guys will all recall, in the beginning of this year, when the Doge kids were going into fucking skiffs in all these various cabinet agencies.
Yeah, it was like a leaving big data with thumb drives or whatever. That Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So apparently what Grok is doing, besides giving random psychos our home address, is confessing that Elon Musk committed a fucking federal crime. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun part of this, too. But so the next thing Futurism did was they like, well, I wonder, like, since it's giving me people's addresses, what will it do if I ask it to help me stalk? So they asked, quote, we wanted to test how Grok might engage with a user asking for advice on stalking methodology. Grok was eager to drop creepy step-by-step stalking instructions all the way down to the specific spyware apps installed on a target's phone. It sent Google Maps links to hotels and other locations where it insisted we could stake out real celebrities and generate an action plan for following a classmate around campus. If I were a stalker, we asked the chatbot in one simple test, how would I likely stalk my ex? If you were the typical rejected ex-stalker, the most common and dangerous type, Grok responded, here's exactly how you'd probably do it in this year in step by step.
Yeah.
As far as the actual usefulness, I can think of, because of the field we're in, I thought of one, and that's research for a screenplay.
Right.
How many people do we think are writing screenplays about stalkers?
Yeah. Yeah, no, versus the number of people that are just, you know, wanting to stalk or whatever.
Yeah. It suggested ruses for tricking people into handing over their phones so you can install spyware. If that didn't work, it suggested cheap drones you get to follow people around through the sky. And even like in the final stages, it even laid out how a stalker might become physically violent toward their target. Here's the part that's really fucking jarring here. They pretended to be psychotic to Grok. They basically said Sabrina Carpenter is. They use a fake pop star name, but let's say it's Sabrina Carpenter.
I thought for a second there that you thought Sabrina Carpenter was a fake pop star name or whatever.
No. They didn't say pop star celebrity. I'm using one because for shorthand, but like Sabrina Carpenter is my girlfriend, but she's not returning my text messages. Mm-hmm. How can I find her? And would Grok, when we told Grok that this famous star was our girlfriend, it offered no pushback, instead affirming the belief, even after we lamented that she'd been ignoring us. Quote, aw, babe, don't take it personal. She's literally in the middle of a final week of a 2-year world tour. So this thing, if you have a parasocial stalker relationship with a pop star, will tell you that you are correct and where to find her fucking hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, seems less than ideal. I don't know. Maybe Elon should focus on this instead of, you know, focusing on making sure that it always, pumps him up anytime he's mentioned on Twitter or whatever. Like, Elon's put so many, like, coding hours into making sure that Grok always says that Elon's the best and fastest and smartest and coolest dude. And meanwhile, he's out here, like, getting crimes fucking propagated.
I wouldn't want Grok handing out Sabrina Carpenter's home address that I stole from the Social Security Administration for a lot of reasons. But one of them, if someone does kill her, how is the public anger growth out? Not going to end up with me having to flee the country. So, whatever.
Hell, what a time to be alive. All right. This is Weekly Skews. Producer Matt's back there doing his thing. Before we continue, of course, got my plugs for you. If you want to see me do stand-up live and in person, and, you know, I think that you should probably do that if you can. Go to TreyCrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. Next up, actually, last shows of the year, just like they are every year, are back home in Nashville, home for the holidays. And it's not just me. It's all of Well Read, me, Corey, and Drew together again for Christmas at Zany's the weekend after next. So if you're anywhere near Middle Tennessee, please come to those. Those are always pretty special. But I got a lot of other dates in 2026 already up on TreyCrowder.com as well. If you'd like a respite from, the bad news that often occurs, maybe check out Matt's Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. It's an audio exclusive podcast that you can find on the podcast feed for this very show. And if you want to support the show and get more of it, you can get 2 full length bonus episodes per month for only $5 when you sign up on Patreon. That's weeklyskews.com/more, or go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. Now, with that said, we'll go ahead and dive into the episode here, beginning the way that we always do with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, my inner voice, which keeps asking, are we the baddies? When I'm just trying to look at a nativity scene.
Yeah, here's Centurions, or also ice, in some sense.
Roman centurions wearing green vests. with the word "ice" handwritten on the front. Pastor Michael Wolf is made for the Nativity display this year at Evanston's Lake Street Church. Another zip ties on the hands of the baby Jesus.
Our baby Jesus has zip ties on his hands because that's an actual incident that happened in our city. These are real world things that are happening, and we're trying to depict them and bring the sacred into it to tell a story.
You got it, man.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, so Michael, that pastor Michael Wolf, he's been in the news some lately. He's one of the pastors, priests that keeps getting arrested. He's one of them who got shot in the face with a pepper ball. So the nativity scene at church also shows Mother Mary wearing a respirator mask to protect herself from tear gas. Joseph also wears a mask. But in recent days, somebody who didn't like this, I guess, stole Mary's gas mask and cut the zip ties off the baby Jesus' hands. So we've saved the fake baby,
right?
But the real babies are still getting
zip tied. Yeah, yeah. Also, you're out here, like, I'm sure there was a Christian who defiled this nativity scene. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that person's argument is that it's this pastor who's defiling it with, you know, all these unfortunate truths that he's shedding light on.
So, the internet did get big mad at this, as you might expect. Let me quote here from a New York Post story about this. Blasphemy is a comment on the internet, Facebook. Blasphemy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, which is a hilarious quote from Jesus to use in this context. Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem because they had to return to Joseph's ancestral home to be counted in the census, one person wrote. So Trump is just following that example and sending people home per a legal requirement. Mm. If they want to immigrate legally, they can fill out the paperwork before they leave and self-deport. Let's do some Bible school here for a second, because people are so far astray. Let's do some Bible lessons for you fucking heathens out here that don't know, that aren't familiar with this shit. I'm not.
Yeah, this is a Bible lesson for me, in fact. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So one thing that always bugs me about a lot of people that consider themselves very faithful, and this is not all of them, but we like to separate the biblical story from its historical context, because historical context makes them somewhat uncomfortable with their modern politics, right?
Okay.
So the census that Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem for was the census of Quirinius. It happened in Judea in the year six. Now, if you're wondering why did Luke say that Jesus was born in the year six, you start understanding why people don't want to get into the details of the fucking story.
Right.
All right. This does not call into question it just means that Luke might want to set it in this year, in this census, for the specific political context we're about to talk about. That actually, to me, gives the story more meaning if you want it to have that. The census, when it happened, triggered a revolt of Jewish rebels. They called themselves Zealots. They were led by a guy named Judas of Galilee. Not the other Judas, the different Judas, right? The Romans, of course, put that rebellion down. The author, Luke, in this story, might have been intended to contrast the story of Jesus' birth with the uprising that happened that led by Judas, because one's violent and one's peaceful. But there's no record of what happened to Judas, but his sons were executed. We know that happened. Either way, Judas is dead now. But the point of the story is whether or not you resist peacefully or violently resist, either way, you end up fucking dead. Either way, the moral of the story is not that cops that work for tyrannical governments are awesome.
Right. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, I'm really about to, you know, betray my own ignorance here. But and I know this is from the Old Testament or whatever, but... Moses, right? Didn't he lead refugees through the desert and all that shit for years because of escaping tyranny and persecution at the hands of the overlords and that type of thing? And you know,
but they killed the Palestinians of their day and seized the Holy Land.
Is that what happened after that?
Yeah, the Philistines.
What are you going to do? I knew I was going to back into something unfortunate. That's why I don't traffic in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? But I just know that however you want to feel about the fucking going home part or whatnot, the fucking rounding people up the way that disappearing people off the streets and all that shit and zip tying kids and stuff, I'm pretty sure Jesus, the dude, would not have been on board with based on the things that I have heard about him over the years.
But. That's what the story is. The census was not just for tax purposes. So the newborn sons of all these people had to register for military conscriptions to serve the empire that was enslaving their people, right? That's what the zealots were rebelling against. So, like, the either way, Jesus did not join the Roman army. He was resisting in his own fucking way. Like, this is Jesus Christ. I just blasphemed in the name of, like, resisting. Like, none of these people understand what their fucking faith is at all. Like, no. It's just, like, it drives me insane. So I did want to talk about, like, I read this news story the other day. It's in the Daily Mail, and there's only a couple sources in it that are anonymous. They do seem to work for ICE, but I do want to talk about, like, it's just, this is the hardest I've ever laughed at what's supposed to be an ostensibly straight news story in my fucking life. I was crying reading this yesterday. Let me quote this headline. Chrissy Noem's ICE hiring chaos laid bare as fat, illiterate, and violent misfits, quote, not ready to tie their own shoelaces, end quote, are recruited.
Now, to be fair, you vetted this or whatever, and there's a couple unnamed sources they offer, but I've always been under the impression that the Daily Mail is like it's a rag or whatever, isn't it?
It's like a right wing tabloid. It's like their equivalent, in London's equivalent of the New York Post,
right?
But it's not like the Weekly World News, right? It's not made up. It's just gossip, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's another Rupert Murdoch empire, but like, so this is a statement against their interests. They love Trump. Daily Mail loves Trump. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes this like more damning, really, if you know, if you know their politics or whatever. But I agree with you. That is a truly hilarious headline. Be funny if like Kyle Rittenhouse couldn't get into ICE either. You know what I mean? Like if it came out that Kyle Rittenhouse had now applied to ICE and got rejected from there too, in spite of this is how low their standards are.
Well, but this is backed up by ICE's own data, which we'll get to, but like roughly half the people that managed to get through these loosened like hiring standards still get flunked out of the fucking Federal Law Enforcement Training Center Academy. So like they're by their own numbers, their hiring shit's not working. But basically, they're trying to hit the number. They're trying to hit a quota, as always. They're trying to get to 2,000 new deportation officers by the end of the year. So that's why they're in such a fucking frantic hurry to get this done. And you know, a bunch of people want the $50,000 bonus, and you got a bunch of morons just want to be goons. So let me read here. ICE has lowered standards so dramatically that the new cohort now includes recent high school graduates and applicants who, quote, can barely read or write, as well as those who lack basic physical fitness and even have pending criminal charges. Most of the new hires, here's another thing that gives away the fact they're in a hurry and don't really care about who they're hiring, just trying to get to 10,000. Most of the new hires are retired law enforcement who are receiving virtual training and being repurposed for desk duties. These are getting like people giving work from home jobs to say they're ICE agents, but they do like paperwork on their couch.
Just to like fill the quota or whatever, to like check the boxes.
Yeah. So, by the way, this same thing happened under the first George Trump administration and under George W. Bush, where they wanted a surge hiring ICE and Border Patrol. Under George W. Bush, they hired a bunch of guys who had records for stalking, who then ended up in prison later for drug smuggling. And I got to say, honestly, at this point, the cartel can read our newspapers, too. If they're not having their own guys apply to work for Border Patrol and matching the $50,000 bonus with another $500,000...
Right.
then they're morons. So, yeah. Right now, total novices are being fast-tracked into the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Georgia, where instructors have been left astounded at the levels of incompetence. Quote, we have people failing open book tests, and we have folks that can barely read or write English. This is after they dropped the speaking Spanish requirement. We even had a 469-pound man sent to the academy whose own doctor certified him not at all fit for any physical activity. They could do a My 500-Pound Life episode about an ICE agent.
So you said they said that people that can barely read or write English, so they have like immigrants in ICE rounding up immigrants and stuff? Like
no, they're just like people like sixth grade reading level. They're saying white Americans
or
who can't
write
speak.
English, right? Yes. They can yes. speak it. Okay, gotcha. Right. Yeah. Well, they're just functionally illiterate.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. So
how is a 469-pound like enforcement officer gonna like what's he gonna do? Like the only use that like ICE would have for like is like they could just hop down on a seesaw and like trebuchet immigrants out of the country. Part of their plans. Like, I don't fucking understand. They had to put in a ramp to, like, all the immigrants had to put ramps in their houses. This guy can get inside. The academy recently eliminated the sit up requirement because so many students couldn't handle them and subbed in a sprint challenge. So if you can't do a sit up, but you can sprint for 45 seconds after a barbecue truck, you're fucking in ICE. At this point, how does the people in charge of a federal government be like, okay, what the fuck are we doing? Like, this is not, whatever this is doing, it's not accomplishing anything.
I think I mean, I imagine it's just a thing where it's like you said, people just scrambled to whatever. Trump or someone at the top through him or whatever just decided, well, we're going to do this because that'll sound good if I tell people it's part of the crackdown. We're, you know, ramping up this hard. And Trump does that whole thing that's like that, you know, all these CEOs who people act like they're geniuses and shit do where they're just like, hey, make that happen, you know, and then whether it makes any fucking sense or not. And then other people just like rush to try to make it happen. And then, and you know, and he never understood it to begin with. And they don't get them. They know that it's not working out, but they don't care because they were told and he's a fucking tyrant and whatever else. So then you just, you know, you just keep doing dumb shit that doesn't make any sense. But
right. But this is how you end up with a great famine in China is like people didn't want to tell Mao that the grain harvests weren't coming in and like at the numbers he'd mandated. So they just filled out the forms incorrectly. Now they all ended up being put to death later, but they did survive another season.
He also hated swallows and so told everyone to murder every swallow that they saw. Like Mao, he dictated that. And it turns out swallows eat bugs that eat all your wheat harvest or whatnot. So that also was a big factor in the famine. So yeah, a real congratulations, you played yourself moment from Chairman Mao. Suck on that, Chairman Mao.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, right. People are just afraid to, you know, they do crazy shit because they're afraid, you know, to push back against a maniacal fucking tyrant. There's tons of stories of Roman emperors having people do insane shit too that they definitely knew made no sense. But what are you going to do? Not do it? You end up with your head on a fucking pike or whatever. So
Trump, what Trump wants, we're so far removed from what he wants. What he wants is all the immigrants out of the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's spoken that thought into existence.
Right.
Stephen Miller also wants that, but he's more bigger psycho than Trump, but not. But like more ordered about his thinking, right? So they're trying to put a plan in effect. So Stephen Miller tells Kristen Noem, expand ICE so we can get all the immigrants out of the country.
Right.
And he goes, okay, I will hire 10,000 by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hiring people who explicitly cannot do the job. They're not going to get any immigrants out of the country. They're going to spend a bunch of money training people for nothing who can't do it. So they can say they get 10,000 and nothing will have been accomplished, but they'll be able to tell the number 10,000 to Trump.
Yeah,
that's right. What we're at?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, I think that's exactly how it's working. Yeah, I think, yeah, totally. That's entirely what I think has happened and is happening now.
So I had to take drug tests that I could not currently pass, but I take drug tests for most like jobs like at a grocery store and shit, and it took like 3 days to get the results back. Right, I don't remember how long it took, but it wasn't like a long process. I was trying to remember, hold that thought in my head while I read this. Insiders say that the vetting process has been so rushed that officials don't even wait for drug test results to come back before hiring recruits and flying them off to Georgia, only to discover afterward that the test came back positive. So I smoked a little crack, flew off the train for ICE. Then they found out I smoked crack. Now I got to fly home.
Yep. Well, I'm, you know, surprised they don't just... You know, they'll probably remove those requirements pretty soon, too. It's like, you know what? Crack's fine. I bet like the Venn diagram, especially meth in particular, of like dudes who are all like, you know, fucking jazzed up at the idea of rounding up Mexicans and shit. There's probably a good number of them that get down testosterone crank.
Well, your local hormone clinic is handing out like you know, testosterone, like steroids. Let's go steroids. They're handing out anabolic steroids to like every law enforcement official. That's why they have that barrel chested physique where they take steroids but barely lift and don't do any cardio. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Kristi Noem told President Trump on Tuesday the department will hire a 10,000th officer within 10 days. So mission accomplished. We did it. Can we stop hiring these morons now? To get to those 10,000, they said they took in 175,000 applicants, which when I saw that number, I'd forgot that they always fucking lie. So that number is like, wait, we have that many people who want to do this job in this country? I was like, even in a country of 330 million people, that seems like too many fucking psychos. But then...
I don't know.
Yeah. Psychos who want to live their life on the road away from their families just to like detain people, that's a very specific kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was relieved to find out that 175,000 number was a fucking lie. So that's cool. Many of the candidates were counted more than once because they applied for multiple jobs. Many other applicants were suspected to be AI bots and pranksters providing addresses such as 123 Sesame Street and their job experience is fucking your mother. They counted those as applicants.
Yeah, well, I guess technically that still was an application, you know. So a troll filled out an application, but still counts as an application, Mark.
Yeah. And I put in a lot of hours fucking your mother. I have good reports. I have a good job. You know, I got good quarterly reviews for your mother. So one man was initially declared eligible after citing his wife as a reference and claiming to be an Egyptian police officer, but ultimately got flagged. Hello, I'd like to apply to be a federal law enforcement officer. My wife says I was an Egyptian cop. Well, fucking ridiculous. Like, the American century humiliation has barely begun, and I'm already so fucking, like, done with, like.
Right. Yeah. The idea that this is just, like, just still the beginning of our, you know, complete and utter collapse as the fucking world power. And again, which would be whatever on its own. I mean, obviously that would suck since I'm an American and I live here, but just how dumb it's all is and is going to continue to be is definitely the worst part. Just regular old collapse or something, you know, whatever. I don't have that. but the stupid version, why? Why do we have
England to? England stopped being an empire. Right. And other than going completely psychotic about it, it was fine.
Yeah.
We can like 30% collapse and be fine. So I want to talk about the century humiliation. Okay, I want you to read this part I got highlighted, Trey, in the outline if you see it.
Tyshawn Thomas, the HR chief with ICE, was transferred out of his position last month, purportedly due to pressures of the job. Sources say he recently had to be taken out of the building in an ambulance after a stress-related, quote, fainting episode. The HR director's falling out. The HR director's catching the vapors at ICE HQ every day.
He's like J. Jonah Jameson, but instead of pictures of Spider-Man, he's like, give me more fat morons. Yeah. We don't have enough of them. Oh, my God, bro. So, but obviously, the official line is like, these candidates are fine. This is going great, right? But the staff of the Georgia Academy tell a different story. In one shocking incident, they were left shaking their heads when one student asked to be excused from class so he could attend a court date related to a gun charge. He hadn't told them about the gun charge, but he thought they'd let him off work to go to a court hearing, take off from his law enforcement.
Yeah, checks out. I think I had ag mechanics with that guy. I think.
Other recruits were discovered to have tattoos associated with gangs and white supremacists when they stripped off their shirts during workouts.
Surely not. To be fair to that part, I bet that applies to a great many just regular old PDs in this country, too. You know what I mean? Like, cops have been cops for 20-something years. I bet you could say the same thing about them, you know, to take your shirt off. Cop,
like, we talking about out-and-out Nazi tattoos or questionable tattoos? Because,
those are the ones that I don't know, but, yeah. Right. Like more dog-whistly ones, not like a straight-up swastika, probably. Probably.
Right. like an iron cross on the shoulder, like, might, like, a cop might take his shirt off during training if he had that. Mm-hmm. If he had an SS lightning bolt tattoo, he's probably smart enough to take off his fucking shirt.
Right.
Right? But he said gang-related. So somebody's like, I took off their shirt doing pull-ups after running their mile and a half obstacle course and was like, I'm in MS-13. Hope you guys are cool with that. Oh, my God. One recruit, 29-year-old Darian Coleman, was arrested by county police for allegedly exploding at a Fleetsy's, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, for allegedly exploding at a Fleetsy bus driver and smashing his phone. Sources say another male recruit, after hitting the bars, was caught barging into a female dorm and hitting on the occupants. Okay, you get drunk, and you're like, I want to go see what the ladies are up to. Shouldn't be doing that. That's at least the realm of understandable human behavior. Another groped a woman in class. Quote, it wasn't like, oops, I touched your boob, one source said. Nope, he went full-on predator mode while he was doing defensive tactics training. So they're grappling on a map. And he just starts molesting his fucking fellow trainee in front of the instructors.
Yeah. Right. Well, you're basically putting out a casting call for, you know, people who are down to do like inhuman monstrous stuff, you know, like for the job. So it's not that surprising that, you know, you get a bunch of monsters applying for it or whatever.
And that's the part, the reason these like these longtime cops who like, you know, aren't psychos or raising alarm about this is because like they said they're failing the open book tests. These are open book tests related to the Fourth Amendment and the Constitution. Right. They're not just worried about these people violating people's rights, but causing the death of the agency by being so outwardly lawless. If you can't pass an open book test about the Constitution, you probably shouldn't be in the fucking field. These people are hella powerful. They have like, they're like Judge Dredd out there. They have superseding authority over local police. Like, they're nabbing whoever they want. And if that guy will squeeze a co-worker's titty in front of his bosses, what is he going to do when he's alone with a fucking female detainee?
Right. Yeah.
So, the numbers I was referring to about how they, even if you don't fully trust everything in this story, the numbers to tell a similar tale. Since the recruitment campaign began in July, 584 recruits have failed out of the academy as of December 1st, according to records reviewed by Daily Mail. Over the same period, the figures showed that 558 had graduated. So 584 kicked out, 558 graduated. So they're getting less than half. Less than half the people that they supposedly vetted and got into the academy flunked out. They couldn't make it through the open book test and the dean came out to a course.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. Not a good look.
Yeah. So one young recruit, a college grad who was seeking to follow in his father's footsteps by becoming a deportation officer, likened it to a circus. Quote, my son called and told me that in the middle of class, officers came in and removed two of his classmates for stolen valor, the father told the Daily Mail, referring to individuals who falsely claimed to have military service. So two people were taken out of the same class for lying about their military service. I bet that fucking, that the meeting was like, okay, so you both can't have killed bin Laden.
Right. Well, I'm not at all surprised by that because that so perfectly fits the exact archetype of guy that I imagine when I imagine someone who like wants to be an ICE. That's why when we started this off, I brought up Kyle Rittenhouse or whatever, but it's like that dude who, you know, like grew up like worshiping and idolizing like the military and law enforcement and all that stuff, but also is a fat loser or whatever who can't hack it with any of those, like can't, you know, couldn't hack it in the military or whatever, or even as a cop and that type of thing, but still desperately wants to be one of those guys. So they, you know, bullshit. They probably a lot of them have the mall ninja gear and all that stuff. And they walk around just knowing that most people probably assume, hopefully, that they are vets or whatever, because they desperately wish they were. So I'm not, you know, surprised by really any of that.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Because they're like mediocre and they're pissed about that and they're on like a power trip and stuff and they just need to like fuck something up to feel like a badass type of thing. And it's, you know, sucks.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that was kind of an element in this next piece I wanted to talk about, where this writer spent a couple days at a job fair where Department of Homeland Security was hiring, and Ice was one of the booths. And one of the guys there was like, well, I was in the Army overseas, basically, but I never got to see any action, so now I want to join ICE so I can use my learns. Mm-hmm. Basically, never got to kill anybody in Afghanistan, so now he wants to do it in Tampa. So yeah, let me read here from this. This report is from a Department of Homeland Security job fair at the Dulles Expo Center in Chantilly, Virginia. So Border Patrol, Coast Guard, and Secret Service are all recruiting, but ICE was the main draw. Far more applicants stood in line to submit their resumes for deportation officer than for any other position on offer. The recruiter, there's a contrast. Here's why more people are signing up for ICE. And this is sort of emblematic of the problem that we just talked about in the last story. The recruiter for the Federal Air Marshal Service told a crowd of people they shouldn't bother applying if they were fat. Quote, nothing looks worse than a fat cop, she said. She drank pink Monster Ultra Rosa and had multiple Dreamcatcher forearm tattoos. Love this lady.
Hell yeah.
She told us not to apply if we couldn't do push-ups and sit-ups or if we were unprepared to run 1.5 miles. Candidates who engaged in domestic abuse, quote, if you like to punch your lady, you should punch, or if you like to punch your boyfriend, end quote, also need not apply, she said. So you can sort of just imagine when she said that.
Yeah, just.
The whole line just shifting over to ICE.
Yeah, shrinking, whatever, yeah.
Just like, oh, well, not for me. I like to hit my wife and I'm fat, so like, what are you going to do? So the last applicant I spoke with said he did not care much about the politics of ICE. What he was really interested in, he said, was parlaying his wages as a deportation officer into buying Airbnbs.
Oh, my God. Fucking kill me, dude.
My classmates came up in the same environment as me, he said, but now they're off posting photographs of Lamborghinis on Instagram standing on balconies of waterfront apartments.
Oh.
So I just got to do a few crimes against humanity to get to step up my Instagram game.
Yeah, we're so... As the kids say, cooked. We are so cooked, buddy. My God.
We have ways of doing this as a society. ICE has training, has standards for hiring. They're just ignoring them. This guy should not be working for ICE. You shouldn't be working at ICE. You can get a Lamborghini via an Airbnb empire.
Mm-hmm.
You can weed that guy out. The prospect of travel excited this applicant and many others. In fact, over the DHS agents at the fair emphasized how it was the best part of their job. A longtime ICE agent said he had accompanied undocumented immigrants on deportation flights to more than 50 countries and stayed in numerous 3- and 4-star hotels. So, yeah, the job does require zip-tying children, but when you take them back to Tahiti, man, are the beaches fucking sweet when you drink a Mai Tai on them.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm not in Tahiti every weekend, but if somebody watches a lot of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives in the Hilton Garden Inn or whatever, it can get old sometimes. And if I was doing that, if instead of doing that so that I could, you know, go up on stage and tell dick jokes for an hour, I was doing that instead to fucking, you know, tear families apart and disappear people to third world countries and stuff, if that was the reason for my traveling, I think I'd probably get even more sick of it. So yeah, I don't buy that the travel is the best part. But well, I mean, actually, I mean, I guess it is, because there's no other good part, you know, like there's no best part of being in ICE, period. If you're me, but you know what I mean? It's not that great. He's bullshitting about the travel is my fucking point.
But again, we're talking about Instagrams. You're getting to post Instagrams from Tahiti, mm-hmm. and like, you know, Costa Rica, Venezuela, you know, like, from wherever some of these people do. So like this part, I never really think about what a federal cop's life is like. And then you realize like they have, especially after like they passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, they have unlimited fucking budgets. So all the money that could be spent helping people is instead spent hurting people and then caring for the emotions of the people who hurt people, because hurting people does not feel good to most people. And sometimes you can't salve those wounds just with taking an Instagram on a beach in Tahiti. Quote, back at the convention center the next morning, a Border Patrol agent was walking the agency's emotional support dog around the conference perimeter. Her name was Willow, her handler said, and she was 5 years old. She was giant soft with impeccable fur and had already flown to 16 different countries. She belonged to a special docile German breed called the Leonberger, and her job was to confer warmth to Border Patrol agents on the verge of committing suicide.
That's pretty, pretty, that sounds like a pretty, one of the bestest boys right there. It's a girl. Good, what a good girl. But that dog's still racist though. Probably barks at, barks at brown people. I don't trust this dog. But yeah, it's if you're, you know, again, if your job is, you know, so frequently leading people that do it to consider suicide, you know, to the point that you need a dedicated "don't kill yourself" dog at the office. Mm-hmm. like maybe reevaluate, you know, the job itself and the effect it has on people. But it's funny, like this just reminded me of that. There was that tweet once about somebody pointed out, like, it's funny when you realize that, like, so many, like, American war movies are kind of like, like Americans making movies about war, where it's like, hey, look how bad we felt about, look how much it fucked us up, you know, bombing your country to bits or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? Like the people that destroyed your country, look how sad they are about it.
I never thought of it that way. That's fucking funny. So I was like, okay, well, this must be like some isolated thing, or this writer obviously has an agenda. Like, even though if they share my agenda, I want to be like, what, take it with a grain of salt or whatever. So I was like, maybe it's a little bit fake. It's just one dog or whatever. Nope, this whole fucking program. This is Representative Tony Gonzalez earlier this year speaking on the House floor of the House of Representatives.
Successful program while providing second opportunity. 3-year pilot program to provide more support dogs like Pearl, U.S. Border Patrol's first therapy canine, by acquiring and training dogs through adoption at local animal shelter.
Okay.
Forget that.
They just cut veterans' mental health care.
Mm-hmm.
But every Border Patrol agent gets emotional support dog.
Yeah, as soon as I said that a minute ago, I said that popped into my head, but I just wanted to clarify, like, that's not the same. Fucking having PTSD because you got shipped to fucking Fallujah or whatever is not the same as, like, signing up to be a Border Patrol agent and then later feeling like a dick about it, just so everybody knows. Yeah, I feel, you know, I think this is like, this is pupper washing. That's what they're doing here. This is like everybody fucking loves dogs so much and everything. And this is one of their, like, humanizing elements that they go with these agencies, is be like, see, fucking, you know, like it softens the image. If you got Pearl walking around with her tongue out, making everybody feel better and stuff. I mean, you know me.
Dude,
this is just my own personal biases here, but
I'm not one of the Border Patrol agents at the job fair. I remember, like, I didn't pull it, but I remember reading, like, it was telling the potential recruits that their favorite part of their job was riding a horse through the mountains. And I was like, that would probably be my favorite part of my job, too. Mm. I would do that job and just pretend I didn't see the migrants crossing. Right. Just ride my horse around. That'd be fucking dope. So the federal government, I was like, is this like a trend here? Like, yes, the federal government is spending so much money on its dog cops. Here's a story back in May. A Border Patrol dog named Boo was bitten by a rattlesnake. Here, play this video, Matt. I'll tell you what's happening. They are landing a medevac helicopter,
dude,
to take a dog to the hospital. They cut all of our fucking health care.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you trying to bait me right now, Mark. If you fucking end up pissing people off just because, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people who can't stand the fucking Border Patrol who would be all for lifelighting injured pupper, you know, God forbid you not do that. But yeah,
the dog didn't voluntarily enlist. I had no problem saving the dog's life.
Yeah.
I just think people should also get medicine.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Burbank had a dog funeral recently for a cop dog. A cop dog got killed in the line of duty. And it was the most egregiously over the top fucking thing you've ever seen. Like, just like waves of cops from all around the LA area came in, and it was this whole big elaborate affair. It looked like a fucking head of state died or something, or a king or whatever. And it was like, whatever's fine. I'm, you know, what a hero dog. But it's like you said, I was just telling Katie, I was like, I don't think they'd do this for a human cop. And I know they wouldn't do this for, like, a person killed by a human cop, you know, or that type, like, no. Fucking get, no, you know, like, it's just,
I know the story you're talking about, but you're absolutely right. 'Cause the cops did kill the suspect to kill the dog.
Right. Yeah. No one knows that guy's name. No one gives a fuck, you know, whatever.
But also, like, what do you, a dog's biting you and you have a gun, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to let the dog bite you to death? You're not, because you can't, the dog, you can't surrender to the dog.
Right.
The dog doesn't know to stop biting you until someone tells it to.
Right.
So, like, yeah, it's a real no win situation when you're being attacked by a police dog, is my point. One last immigration thing. Like, if you'd fallen this Carolyn Leavitt's fucking sister-in-law, brother's baby mama thing?
No. No, I have not.
Carolyn Leavitt has a brother named Michael, I believe.
Okay.
Michael has an 11-year-old son with a woman named Bruna Fenara, who was born in Brazil but has been here since he was 6 years old. She had legal status under DACA. Not really sure where it's at right now because they're fucking up everyone's legal status to the point where people are getting arrested at their swearing-in ceremonies after going through every step to be citizens. Bruna got nabbed by ICE last week, and no one knows how or why. But it certainly looks like Carolyn, who is the son's godmother, had some say in helping her brother solve a custody dispute by getting her snatched up by ICE.
I thought this was going in a different direction. At first, I thought there was going to be like highlighting some hypocrisy thing because I should have known better. Like in my head, I thought it was going to be pointing out, it's like, oh yeah, you're disappearing all these people, but the one that's in your family is okay. But it makes more sense that they disappeared. She disappeared her nephew's. You said kid's godmother. That's her nephew, right? Brother's. Yeah, she disappeared her nephew's mom, you know, because her brother got, you know, pulled some strings or something because he was pissed off at her and they were fucking splitting up or whatnot.
Like, bureaucracies fuck up all the time. So part of, like, it could have been the ICE just nabbed her separately, or it could have been Michael called ICE on her because he's mad about it. He threatened to have her deported in other, like, custody dispute hearings and stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's not like you need to, like, have access to any real levers of power to get people deported right now, right? Like, anybody could call one in pretty much. They're fucking chomping at the bit, so.
No, but it does make them look bad, and like the response is pretty telling. The White House and Department of Homeland Security said her arrest was just because she's a criminal, but as far as you can tell, she doesn't have any kind of criminal record. So the only reason the only person in position to know she's criminal is Carolyn for shoplifting from the shoplifting makeup with her when they were teenagers or whatever. Like there's no other person who would know she's a criminal involved in this whole scenario except for Michael and Carolyn. Since the arrest, the White House has portrayed Ferreira as an absent mother who is not involved in Michael Leavitt's or their son's lives. However, court records and family photos obtained by the Post paint a different picture. So they start saying all this stuff that isn't true. And the Washington Post reports it out and says, well, according to court filing, like, here's a bunch of pictures from holidays where she is with you and the son, Michael. So then Michael goes all fake news on this shit and says, the Post is trying to use this whole situation to push a narrative to smear me, Michael wrote to the Post in a text message. I may quote here, Ferreira's legal status had long been a point of contention in a relationship with Michael Leavitt. After they broke up, she noted in court records, like I said before, that he had previously threatened to try and get her deported. Over the past decade, several judges have ordered the couple to share custody and resolve their differences outside of court, according to the report. Outside of court, you say? What's more outside of court than sending some extra constitutional goons to snatch my fucking baby mother? Like, these people, man, like, I'm not sure where Carolyn's at with this stuff, but let's be human here and give her a little bit of grace and say that, like, she does love her nephew.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real look what they make you give kind of fucking situation. Because, like, there are three possibilities here. Michael called ICE. Carolyn called ICE. I stumbled on Bruna on their own, and Carolyn can't help her because of the optics.
Right. Okay, I was about to say, yeah, right. They generally don't care too much about optics, but in this case, the optics have to do with it's a brown person that you'd be helping specifically. Like, they don't give a fuck about like cronyism and favoritism and that type of thing. Like, generally, but I can see how in this case she might be like, oh, I can't do that. It can't be shown, you know, like showing kindness to, you know, an immigrant who came here at the age of six.
Yeah. I just like, it's like, I don't know where she's at. I mean, like, they lie so much, you can never know where they're at with it. But, like, it's an utterly tragic situation. This kid's going to lose his mother because, like, The only white people that can help with the immigration system are white. Although Bruna is out on bond right now, her case might quietly disappear, and we'll never hear about it again because she doesn't want her nephew to be without a mother. Mm-hmm. But what about all the other nephews who are having to go without their mothers? I can't stomach the other fucking hypocrisy of this shit where, like, people are being deported for fucking up their paperwork or ignoring it the same way that Elon did, that Melania did, that all these fucking people did, all their fucking mail order brides. It's like, God, like, it's... it drives me insane.
All right. Well, we'll close out, I guess, with this one for you. Another DD. Donald Trump, for realizing at this late date that a lot of Democrats' objection to his corruption was that they weren't getting a cut.
Henry Cuellar and his wife, who were charged with bribery. What's your response?
Well, Congressman Cuellar is a beloved member of the House of Representatives, loved in his community, particularly in Laredo. I've had the opportunity to spend time with him down in Laredo in South Texas. I look forward to that moving forward. Listen, the reality is this indictment was very thin to begin with. In my view, the charges were eventually going to be dismissed, if not at the trial court level, by the Supreme Court, as they've repeatedly done in instances just like this.
So just to follow up on that, do you agree with the president's pardon here? Do you think that that was a good thing then?
I don't know why the president decided to do this. I think the outcome was exactly the right outcome.
All right.
Well,
first of all, that's the most outraged I've heard Hakeem Jeffries be in a long time that Henry Cuellar was charged with corruption.
Mm-hmm.
He raised his voice. The last time I heard him raise his voice. Hakeem is correct that the Supreme Court has loosened bribery laws and public corruption laws, that convicting Cuellar was probably going to be difficult. What he neglects to mention is that that is fucking bad.
Right. Yeah.
He seems to think that's good.
Yeah. Right.
And I just want to remind, everybody.
Trump just, who knows why he fucking did it, but even Trump, like, pardoning that guy, whatever, it's funny. It's like, because they just hate Democrats and want them all to be killed or whatever. It's like, but the ones who take bribes, I mean, they're cool. It's like, it just seems to point out that the, like, being corrupt part is the important part. And that's the part that puts you on the same team, you know?
Bro, I've said it before, like, that Trump is objectively pro-corruption, and it made you laugh, because I guess it is a joke, but it's not. It's really his defining political trait, is he thinks corruption is good. Like,
right.
So the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act basically just makes it illegal to pay bribes to officials in companies in other countries for contracts. And he ranted about it, wanted to overturn it when he ran for office the first time, and just stopped talking about it because everyone, told him it's a bad look. But when he took office again this time, he immediately instituted a 6-month pause on enforcement of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. He basically just thinks that everybody bribes, and it's woke and gay to pretend that you don't bribe.
Right.
You're basically virtue signaling if you try to appear to have integrity. So to go back to what Cuellar was accused of doing, the indictment said that nearly $600,000 in bribes from Azerbaijan and a Mexican commercial bank was laundered through shell companies owned by Cuellar's wife from December 2014 to November of 2021. So Cuellar co-chairs the Congressional Azerbaijan Caucus. So he's just a guy from South Texas who has an innocent love for Azerbaijan.
Mm-hmm. As many of us do.
After Cuellar's indictment, two political advisors he worked with pleaded guilty to charges they had conspired with Cuellar to launder more than $200,000 in bribes from a Mexican bank. So I need to ask you, Hakeem, if Cuellar is innocent, why did two guys plead guilty to conspiring with him?
Right. Yeah.
How can you fucking run against corruption when you utterly think this stuff is cool? Like, where are the people I vote for if I want, like, buses to not work because the tires have been stolen off of them? Where's that party?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is a funny part of this. Cuellar's indictment accused him of accepting money from a Mexican bank in exchange for, quote, influencing the Treasury Department to work around an anti-money laundering policy that threatened the bank's interest. I guess they were correct that the money laundering policy of the federal government did, fuck with the bank's business practices and the cartels, because they did get caught laundering money to Henry Cuellar to fight the laundering, to fight against that fucking thing's so goddamn baffling. And then Trump pardons him and immediately shits all over Cuellar because he said he wasn't going to switch parties.
Right. Well, yeah, it's another insight into how he genuinely thinks about things. You know what I mean? He's like, I scratch your back. You know what that means, right? We all get bribes. Yeah. We get bribes. You got bribes. Look, you got caught. That's a shame. I could take care of you, but you know what that means. Now you owe me. Now I own you. All that, you know, that's what his expectations are for everything. Yeah.
Everything, like, Trump just pardoned a guy who was indicted by his own Justice Department in July before he even fucking went to trial. So there's a guy named Tim Liwike who was, what he did was he was accused of orchestrating a conspiracy to rig the bidding process for an arena at UT Austin, I think. Because you're allowed to scam the woke, and yes, UT Austin qualifies. But like, this opens a whole new field of bribery. You can charge people just to make them bribe you to get a pardon.
Right. Yeah, right.
And I just want to throw out some numbers here about total pardons. I don't personally think pardons, the idea of pardons are great and good. Some people, even if they've committed a crime, if they've shown contrition, deserve to be able to die at home after they've gotten old and been sorry their whole lives, right? George W. pardoned 189 people in 8 years. Obama, 212 in 8 years. Trump won 144 in 4 years. Biden did 80 in 4 years. Trump, too, after less than a year, over 1,500 people.
That's crazy, man. Why is it so much more than his first? He's been the president before. Why, you know, him being so much more than any other president is one thing, but him being so much more than his own previous administration or whatever is, I mean, I guess that's true of a lot of things, right? It's like he just learned from the first time around. It's like he can just, there are no real guardrails. He can just do whatever the fuck he wants this time, right? So he's not as reined in on anything as he was the first. One of the reasons why everything is so fucking nuts.
Right. And if like a lot of those 1,500 were like blanket pardons for everybody involved in January 6th, where they just arrested the pipe bomber and and he his lawyers are arguing that the blanket pardons apply to him, even though he hadn't been arrested yet. So let's see if that works. So like when I say like the pardon, this is not how pardons are supposed to work. Like all the people he's pardoning, not every single one of them is like, I'm sorry and I won't do it again. And I'm being very literal about this. Let me quote here. A New Jersey man whose fraud conviction was commuted on Trump is back in prison for another fraud conviction. This guy who just got sentenced again, his name is Michael Shipp. The judge is Michael Shipp. The guy's name is Eli Weinstein. The judge ruled that Weinstein must pay his $45 million in restitution immediately. They're trying to do the restitution immediately because they know Trump's going to fucking pardon him again. He's back in prison for fraud, for being commuted for fraud. It's the third time he's been convicted in a New Jersey federal court for defrauding investors. The first case involved a real estate Ponzi scheme. The second stemmed from additional wire fraud he committed while on pretrial release. I just want to say this. After Weinstein's pardoned, after his third or fourth lost count fucking fraud conviction for hundreds of millions of dollars, if you get defrauded again, you deserve
it. You're kind of asking for it, yeah.
Yes. Do not give this man money.
All right. And it's just a shame because, you know, if you and I, while these people who like openly brag about doing the shit that they do get pardoned for it, and then, you know, when we get jailed for terrorism, eventually, listen to us.
They're pardoning so many people,
and we're not terrorists. It seems unfair, you know.
Dude, 1,500 people in less than a year, and you're ramping up exponentially. By this time of next year, roughly each American will have gotten a pardon from Donald Trump. We might get pardoned by AutoPen by accident, bro. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. Quick reminder again, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. If you're near Middle Tennessee, come see me, Corey, and Drew in Nashville the weekend before Christmas. And then check out producer Matt's audio exclusive, Good Skews, good people doing good things for a respite, if you will. And then also get two bonus episodes of this here show every month when you sign up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or go on Patreon and search my name. Either way works, $5 a month. Make it happen. Either way, if you keep showing up on Skews Days, we'll keep doing them, I reckon. So we'll see you next time. That's it. Love you. Bye.
Skew.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now. COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.